Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as we've been discussing, Minister for Climate, Environment and Energy, Dara O'Brien, has said people should not be politicising the aftermath of Storm Éowyn as the cleanup operation continues. He was responding to calls from Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, who, along with other opposition parties, called for the Dáil to be recalled to address the crisis. Over 200,000 premises remain without power, while 100,000 people are without water following the storm last week. Well, to discuss this further now, we're joined by Fianna Fáil TD Christopher O'Sullivan and Sinn Féin TD Mac Carthy, and you're both welcome to the programme. And I might just ask you both first about the situation in your own constituencies this evening. And Christopher, I might start with yourself.
Yeah, Sarah, thankfully, look, I'm down the southwest in West Cork, and while the winds did hit hard and reach speeds of 150 kilometres an hour or so, the level of impact wasn't as bad as was seen, we'll say, up the western seaboard in Clare, Galway, Mayo, and into Matt's home counties there in Cavan and Monaghan. There was... on Friday in particular, there was a large part of the region and the area of West Cork without power. But I have to say the rate of pace at which ESB crews responded was quite phenomenal. You know, we're all experts now in terms of, we have our weather apps and we all have this power check app where we can see the scale of power outages. And in my area in West Cork, it was just as bad as anyone else. You had blue and red warning signs lighting up the app. But I have to say the rate of response was phenomenal. By Friday evening, most parts of West Cork were back and they had their power back. So I just have to commend ESB crew and Cork County Council crew and fire crew and Ishgarran crew, everyone else who really, despite the fact that conditions were incredibly challenging, but to a large extent, we have power back in most areas. There are still areas without broadband and without telecommunications, which is obviously problematic, and we're trying to work through that as well. But certainly not as bad as we saw in Galway.
Or as we are seeing indeed, it's a current situation. Mac Carthy, what about yourself?
Well, I want to join with Christopher in commending all of those workers from the ESB, Gas Networks Ireland, Ishga Éireann and local authorities who have all stepped up to the plate over the past number of days. Unfortunately, there's still quite a number of premises, predominantly in rural areas across Cavan and Monaghan, that continue to be without power. Many of our towns had no power. Phone coverage, obviously access to broadband. Indeed, many were without water over the entire weekend, and in many ways it was a frustrating period and will remain frustrating for a number of households and businesses. For some, the estimated connection time is the 5th of February. That's the case in my own area. And but we also saw the best of communities. It was phenomenal to see, you know, those businesses that were in a position to open, who could only take cash, being very accommodating for those people who didn't have cash. I was in receipt of countless, I have to say, messages over the weekend of people who either had power or had private generators to ask me to let people know that they had big pots of stew on, and they had facilities there that they were willing to make available to neighbours or anybody else who was in need.
So people really coming together where they can, and we're seeing that in across the country in the areas where people are particularly in need. Christopher, in terms of what the government is doing, we hear today that there are 14 emergency response hubs already up and running. As it happens, 11 of them are in Cavan, 2 of them are in Laois and 1 in Westmeath. Now, these emergency response hubs are meant to be assisting people with basic needs like water, hot food, phone charging, broadband access and shower facilities. Firstly, it's very unbalanced geographically, isn't it? And secondly, it's Monday evening. The storm happened Thursday night and we only have 14 emergency hubs in the whole country.
Yeah, look, it's obviously raised an eyebrow, right, to see 11 in Cavan. Obviously, Matt is working closely there with the communities to ensure that happened. But look, the emergency coordination group, the National Emergency Coordination Group, met straight away. They put in place a strategy in terms to respond to those areas that most needed supports. I think it took the weekend, especially with the fact that there was a follow-up storm, to assess and to get a clear picture of exactly where the worst impacted areas are. There will be more. Emergency hubs will open up, and all that information will be on local authority websites.
I just don't understand why it took the weekend to figure that out, because, I mean, if you talk to anyone in the West, they'd tell you. You know, a couple of phone calls. Are you without power? Have you been given a date for when it will return? Are you without water? Have you been given a date for when it will return? If the answer is no to both of those questions, then you need help. And I was speaking to people in Galway all weekend, and the answer was no to both of those questions.
Yeah, I think first the focus first and foremost was to ensure that they are returned power, that they do have water, and that they do get communication facilities. That's the absolute focus. That's what the ESB crews, Cork County Council crews, and emergency services are focusing on, Enniskerrin as well. That's the ultimate priority. No, it's not Monday. It hasn't taken until Monday to open up these emergency hubs. As far as I'm concerned, some of them were opened, or as far as I'm aware, some of them were also open up over the weekend. But it's a start. We need to roll out more, absolutely.
Sorry, my point is that it's Monday and there's only 14 of them in the whole country.
Yeah, and it's still a developing situation. We will see more emergency hubs open, and there will be learnings from this, Sarah. This is unprecedented. The scale, the wind speeds, record breaking wind speeds off the west coast, the damage done. We've never seen anything like it. I've heard criticism in terms of the government's response and the emergency services response in terms of how we responded to this. I don't think that any country in the world would be able to put the resources and personnel in place to ensure that people would have power back and people that would have hot water back within a number of days.
Let me put that to McCarthy. Let me put that to McCarthy, because I have some of the figures here in front of me, and as Christopher is outlining there, Matt, it is a far greater scale than anything we've seen before. The ESB has already managed to reconnect 540,000 people since Friday, and all the figures show, in terms of Comreg's history, they're saying this is the largest breakdown in Comreg's history when it comes to the national telecoms user base. They've taken in skilled retirees from the ESB network to try and help to assist. You know, it is all systems go.
Oh, for sure. Nobody's going to dispute the scale of the damage was beyond anything that we've ever seen before. Anybody who was in a position to look out their window on Friday morning, the winds and the damage that was being caused. And I think people recognise that. And as I say, people have responded very quickly. And I have commended those state agencies and companies and local authorities that have really put the shoulders to the wheel to ensure that the damage can be mitigated. But it is quite natural now where people who are still without services would be in a position to ask, is there anything else that can be done to provide support at this particular point in time, or to advance the recovery times, and for others to ask, is there lessons that we can learn from the resilience of our electricity, of our water networks? Can we protect those people who are still in a very vulnerable position? Because, as I say, I've spent the last couple of days dealing with people who are bringing queries to my attention. But I have to say, at this point, I'm beginning to have concerns for those people who haven't been in a position to contact either me or a state agency or whatever the case may be.
Because they can't get any information, is it? Because they're cut off. And indeed, we have a text here on that point. This person saying, we had no power, phone, internet for 5 days, water out for 12 days after Storm Dara. We requested help and we got none. We're in the same boat now again. We only have the radio for information, is saying this person is saying, I'm pleading with you to switch to an information channel and tell us where the outages are and where we can get help. And indeed, we will try and help with that maybe a little later in the programme, in terms of giving you a sense of what is going on around the country. But Christopher, to Matt's point and to that texter's point, that's how desperate people are. They can't get basic information. I mean, you talked about power check and how we've all become weather experts. Lots of people can't check power check. They've no idea what's going on.
It's a fair point, and there's obvious frustrations, and Matt mentioned a key point there, and that is that we have to learn from these severe weather events, the scale of the likes of which we've never seen before. And yes, they are going to become more frequent, but we have to learn from that in terms of a response. And I think there is, I've heard a call to return to Dáil this week. I don't quite understand the rationale behind that, as I know a lot of TDs, and Matt outlined it there, he's in his constituency meeting community groups. It's the same can be said for TDs from government and opposition parties right up and down the West Coast. But certainly there is room for debate in terms of how we respond to these emergency weather events going forward.
Can I just stop you there for a second? Because I might ask Matt Carthy about the call to return the Dáil in a second. But whatever about returning the Dáil, what about Cabinet? Cabinet's not meeting till Wednesday. This happened last Thursday. Does it not merit an emergency cabinet meeting? The statement today, cabinet is meeting on Wednesday to decide on further measures. What sort of emergency response is that?
The National Emergency Coordination Group, that's why it was established, that's why it's set up, that has met regularly. It also has subgroups in different areas that has met regularly as well. You know, there's more that can be done, and where resources need to be provided, government will not be found wanting. But, you know, ESB have pretty much outlined to government at this point that they pretty much have all the resources that they need. It's just a matter of getting to the worst of impacted areas. The scale of devastation, the scale of power outage was never going to be fixed in 24 hours. Mm. It was never going to be fixed.
But that goes
back
to the emergency hubs, doesn't it, Christopher, in terms of helping people in the meantime, and the fact that there's 14 of those in the whole country.
That's a fair point. And I think, as I said, there is room for debate in terms of how we respond to these events going forward. We were just after a severe snow weather event. There's always room for learning, and we can do better. But I have to say, you outlined it there yourself, Sarah, 750,000 homes without power. We've never seen the likes of it. 540,000 have had their power returned. It was never going to be something that was fixed overnight. And I think politicising this severe weather event is the wrong thing to do.
Okay, and let me put that to Matt Carthy, because we mentioned at the start the programme, McCarthy, about the calls to recall the doll. And I have to tell you, for whatever it's worth, we've only had negative responses from our listeners on that. People just saying that's not the point here, that they want their politicians on the ground or in meetings trying to fix this, not in the doll shouting at each other.
Well, the difficulty is that a number of the questions that are coming to me can't be answered because I, as an elected representative, don't have a forum to put those questions. You know, as I mentioned, frontline workers are out doing their bit, and yet the Dáil, which is the meeting place of the representatives of the people, have no opportunity to put those questions to the ministers responsible. If the Dáil was sitting this week, if it was scheduled to sit this week, we would be in the Dáil, we would be putting these questions, we would be trying to get the information that people need, that opportunity.
And what sort of information could you get if the Dáil was sitting that you can't get this week?
Well, even in terms of the questions that you have put in respect of the emergency hubs, particularly in terms of those areas where there is a dearth of information because either people can't get the communication to them or because the questions haven't been put. And that is, in my mind, something that the Dáil should be doing at this time.
Because
I would disagree with that, because I found that, for you take the ESB and ESB networks, I found their communications team to be incredibly helpful and responsive when I bring areas areas that are worst impacted to their attention. The same could be said for the Ishkeri communications team. Cork County Council, in terms of the emergency hubs and the local community hubs that have been set up, have been very responsive. And to be fair, if you look at social media accounts of TDs, as I said, of all parties, government and opposition, you will see that they are out there. They are part of these community groups who are helping people get access to hot water, get access to hot food, get access to showers. Okay. So to be fair, I think in this time, as opposed to possibly other times, they're better served in the community rather than making grandiose statements in the Dáil, where I don't think it's going to help anyone get access to power faster at all.
In terms of the future, a lot of people again getting in touch on that, where does this go from now? And one person, Tony in County Clare, says, isn't it obvious that last weekend's storm is going to become a regular occurrence? What are we going to do in the future? That's the question we need to answer. A lot of questions coming in or being raised around the fact that we have so many power lines overhead as opposed to in the ground. And I know the Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, mentioned that today, and he said, you know, that's just not possible in a lot of cases. Is that your understanding, Christopher?
Yeah, that's a very difficult thing to do. I think perhaps you could look at situations where more power lines would be put underground, but there's several obstacles to that in terms of the scale, the length, the amount of overline power lines that we have. We've seen issues in terms of obstacles. You take the North-South interconnector, which is a pretty controversial piece of infrastructure that we should have up and running already, but it's run into stumbling blocks. So that'd be an incredibly difficult thing to do, I think.
And why is it so incredibly difficult when other countries seem to be able to do it?
I can't, and you could correct me here, Sarah, and I may be wrong, but I can't think of another country that has its entire grid.
No, I'm not talking about entire grid, but I mean the statements that have been made in the last couple of days seem to suggest we have a higher proportion of our electricity lines overhead than most countries.
Perhaps, and perhaps we should do something practical, like where possible and in the most exposed coastal areas that we do that. But, you know, we predicted that the high winds would hit the west coast and batter the west coast, but I don't think anyone could have potentially predicted that places like Cavan Mon and further inland would have been as impacted. So that would be the scale of what you're talking about there, I think, would be impossible, not practical, but what we can do is increase resources. If it's very clear after this event that we need more resources, that we need more personnel on the ground to respond faster, then we have to do that. But having said that, you know, we could come to a situation where we double the amount of, you would say, crew in ESB networks, yet we never see a storm like this again for another 10 years.
I think it's going to be more. Generally, globally, it seems there is a clear trend towards more extreme weather events. And that's what we're being told by the climate scientists, that this is our future. This is not getting better. This is getting worse. Matt McCarthy, where do you see the weaknesses in infrastructure? What needs to be addressed if we look a little bit to the future?
Well, I do think the issue of power lines need to be addressed. Obviously, to underground all power lines would be an enormous task that would probably take a century. But I do think we should have, as a point of principle for projects going forwards, where feasible to underground, and I believe the North-South Interconnector is one of those projects, we need to look at a number of things that I think have become very evident. For example, a lot of the power lines that fell down over the course of the storm happened as a result of ash trees falling down, which are diseased and for which farmers have for many years been looking for a scheme in order to remove them. I do think we need to look at the resilience of having generators at every water water treatment plant, at places, for example, where group homes for people with disabilities or elderly people, where we have generator capacity on standby for locations such as that. I also think many people are asking questions in respect of, I know, for example, I'm very grateful that I happen to have a solid fuel fire in my house. Many people who have moved to entirely electric became very vulnerable over the past number of days. So there's lots of questions we need to ask, and unfortunately we don't have the opportunity to ask them this week.
All right, thank you both very much for joining us. That's Matt Carthy and Christopher O'Sullivan. You can keep your thoughts coming, 51551.